got to work toward Him. We got to fear Him. We got to have faith in Him. We got to follow Him. But we put God first in our homes. That's what's most important. Everything else should be secondary. You put God first, He'll bless your home. Amen. You'll see things change. You'll see marriages that's been broken, you'll see them put together. You'll see families that split come back together. You'll see this multiple blessings if you'll put God in His place. His place is front and foremost above all things. Amen. The psalmist here, as we read this, he gives three examples on how to build our house. We know we should trust Him. We know we should seek His blessings. And we know to do otherwise is vain. If we don't follow Him and we don't fear Him, we know that, and He's not involved, we know it's in vain. We understand that tonight. It's vain to build a home without God. Psalms 121 again says, "Except the Lord build the house, and they labor in vain that build it." The house in verse 1 is not just referring to just a structure. It's referring to your family. It's referring to your spiritual structure. That's what we got to understand here. I mean, we want God being the base and the foundation of our spiritual structure. We want Him to be what's holding us up. We don't want worldly things holding us up. We don't want man holding us up. We want God holding us up. You know, children are important, a very important part of the family. You can look at children as being the brick or the timber. They're part of the family that make up the building, the spiritual building. And I want to tell you something here. I don't mean this in a bad way. I mean it tenderly. But you can simply build a family up having a wife and children. You can do that. You can build a family. But if God's not invited to the building and He's not allowed to be the Lord, your family is not going to make it. He's got to be the front and foremost part. The children ain't going to make it. The wife ain't going to make it. The husband ain't going to make it. It's all going to be in vain without God being the foundation of that house. He's got to be invited to the building of that house. When I got married here, I was saved. And at the time, my wife wasn't. And it's a blessing. I got to watch my wife be saved in our living room. I've never in my life seen such conviction. She cried for hours. The Lord touched her. I got to see that. That was a privilege to me. That was an honor. But God really, He helped our family after that. He called me to preach a few years later. And it's been an honor. I'm so glad I got to see her, my wife, saved. But people ain't going to build the family. If you try to build it on your own without God, it's all going to be in vain. Tonight, unless you're committed to God, you, your family, your home is committed to God and trust in Him, you can build the nicest house money will buy. You can build that 5-car garage, 3-story house. I mean, you can really get wild. There's people that's building houses to protect them from doomsday. I got to tell them, they ain't going to hide from God. They can get the biggest rock and climb under it. And they can put a 3-foot steel door up. When God comes, they're coming out of that hole. They're going to answer. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. I often think I'd like to see that some of these people that says, "Oh, God ain't real." And they get on there just ranting away and they say we come from monkeys and all this junk. I'd like to see them when they're on their knee and their tongue is confessing. It's better to do it here than there. But if a family tonight is going to endure, it's going to have God. A home built by God and a family built by God will endure through the good and the bad. And let me tell you, there's going to be good come and there's going to be bad come. It's just part of how things work. It's not going to be a cakewalk for everybody. There's going to be hard times come. But when you have God, you know you're going to be safe. You know no matter how bad it gets, you've still got God on your side. There's a thing that keeps coming back here. If you know God, you got to be saved. You got to know Him. That's a key thing right there. There's countless couples today in our country that are building families without God. We got the homosexual crowd that thinks they're building a family. And I can't understand why they want to get a hold of something of God when they got a reprobate mind and don't know Him. Marriage is instituted by God. Why do they want to get a hold of something of God when they got a reprobate mind and they don't even know who he is? They might have heard about him, but they don't know him. But there's families that's being put together, having kids. Their kids don't even know what a church is. There's families that don't even get married. They just shack up and they pop kids out. That's what our country's going to. We got to put God in our family. We got to put God in our marriage, in our house. That's the glue. That's the foundation. We got to have him in it. So many people don't seek God in their marriage. So many people don't bring their children to church and teach them the ways of the Lord. The scripture we're reading here says it's vain to build a house that way. It's vain. We're doing it in vain. This is also true in our churches today, throughout our country. What I've just read applies to our churches, our government, our country. We got to have God as a foundation in our church. There's some churches that don't have God in their foundation. There's some churches that's just all about the world, all about man. And God probably ain't within 3 miles of their church. I'm just joking about that, but it's probably the truth. They wouldn't have a clue who God is. They want to come in and they want to have a good time. They don't want to reverence God. They don't want to admit he's holy. They don't want to put him up where he goes. They just want to come in, fellowship, do things their way, and go home. We've got to have God in our churches. He has to be our foundation. In our country, unless the Lord builds it and is honored by it, the whole structure will sooner or later fall. Our country was built from God. I think about World War II, and this is just proof of how much God has blessed our country. We're a quiet little country over here, not doing nothing, and the whole world's at war. Great Britain getting just overrun by Nazi Germany. We got bombed on Pearl Harbor. It's Friday, right? 71 years ago, Friday. God reached down that day and he touched our country. He blessed our country. He rose up men of God that had backbones like a saw log. They went and fought for our country. Our country produced so much. Airplanes, guns, bullets. We come into this war and our allies completely relied on our country. Because one reason, God was in it. He was the foundation. Our families was tight then. See, the way this thing works is it starts with you and me. And it goes to our family. If we have our family right with God, it goes to our church. If our family's right, then our church is going to be coming together and it's going to be right. When the church comes together and they're fearing God and they're reverencing him, they're putting him where he belongs, all of a sudden our country is going to start turning back to God. But this greatest generation ever, they went and fought in this war and they prevailed. We're living free today because God put his hand on our country. After that war was over, we could no longer just be a nation in the corner. We was the cornerstone of the world. We was the most feared, number one military in the country. God had his hand on us. Well, then all of a sudden, we start seeing years later, these yellow-belly liberals start coming out. They don't want to stand up for God. They want to support all these things that's ungodly. They want to just bend over and accommodate the world. They don't want to stand up for what's right no more. They let our schools go. They let our court systems go. All of a sudden, we're sitting here today with a president that does not fear God, that don't reverence God. He don't care about you and I. He cares about power and money. What have we got to? We went from a country where these men was touched by God and we overcome the world. We helped our allies through the help of God keep our country free and keep this world free. And now here we have this complete turn our back on God as a country. Reading Judges, what happens? He pulls his hand back. It could be happening as we speak if it's not already happened. But it all starts with our family. It starts with you and I. We can't blame the preacher. It's not his fault. We can't even blame the president. It's not his fault. We're the ones that's let this go. With that being said, as much as I don't care for our president in that way, we got to pray for him. His soul will go to heaven or hell one also. Them little girls of his is going to go to heaven or hell. We got to pray for them and support them. Even though we don't want to. We got to pray for them and support them. But unless the Lord buildeth the house, we got to remember this. We got to remember this stuff. The Lord is our foundation. We have to have him in it. And if we don't honor him, it's all going to fall. We got to keep this in our hearts tonight. Like I said, if we'll start in our homes, get it right, then it's going to spread to our churches and to our country. Then, and only then at that point, we're going to be one family under God, one nation under God, one church under God. Only then we're going to start seeing things get back right. Don't make the mistake of leaving God out of your life. If you do, all your accomplishments will be in vain. Make God your priority. Let him do your building for you. Sometimes we just got to step back and let God be God. But we got to know where he belongs. And with that being said, brother, I'm going to hand the service back over to you.